Good evening, good evening, good evening. All is well? Amen, amen. Everybody got your Bible? iPad, iPhone? Excuse me. Turn to 1 Chronicles 29. We're going to read verses 10 through 13. And then we're going to pray. Online students, good evening. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 13. We're going to read it, and then we're going to pray in the Spirit. Our focus is on thanksgiving and praise. Amen. We're going to thank God for everything that we have heard this semester. Amen. Y'all ready? Stand up. Amen. Y'all ready? Let's read. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee, hallelujah, and praise thy glorious name. Amen, hallelujah. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you honor and glory and praise and, Lord God, and thanksgiving for all you have said, Lord God, for all you have done, Lord God, throughout this semester. Holy Spirit, we ask you in the name of Jesus to just help us right now. Help us to pray. Help us to thank the Father. Help us to praise him. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord God. Lord God, for your word, Lord God. For all the revelation, Lord God. For the apostolic, Lord. Oh, Rabba Baba Baba Hashahaya. Alala Maki Shanda Rabakahaya. Oh, Rabba Baba Baba Kashakanda Rabakahaya. Oh, we don't take it lightly, Lord. Alala Makashanda Rabakaya, you've been so good to us. Alala Mahi here. Ye de de Boko Shanda Rabakaha. Alalanda Rebede. Alala Manda Rebede Boko Shanda Rabakaya, you're here, Lord God. We lift our hearts. Hallelujah. We lift our minds to you, Lord God. Erede Bonda Rabakashi here. Alala Makashanda Rabakaya, you're here, Lord God. Thank you. Oh, Rababa Bakashinda Rabaha, your love, Lord. Thank you. Erede Bende Rebede. Oh, Rababa Baba Bakashanda Rabakaha. Alala Manda Rebede. Alala Makashanda Rabakaha. Alala Manda Rebede Boko Shanda Rabakaya, you're here, Lord God. Thank you for enlightenment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shalalanda Rebede. Oh, Rabba Baba Bakashi here. Alala Manda Rebede, Lord God. Alala Makashanda Rabakahaya. Alala Manda Rebede Boko Shanda Rebede here, Lord God. Alala Manda Rebede, you're here. Alala Bakashanda Rabakaya, you're here, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for illumination, Lord. Alala Makashaya. Alala Makanda Ramaki here. Eh, de 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 We give you all the honor, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, Lord God. Oh, Ramamahaha. Oh, Ramamamokoshendebedea. Elele mokondarabakaha. Amamamandebede. Edede bokoshindebede, Lord God. Alala makashahaya. Alala makandarabaki here, Lord God. Alalanda de be dede day, Alalalanda de be dede day, Alalala Makashi, Lord, ye de 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 begin de be de mohoshanda of Akaya, Alalala Makashi here, Alalala Makanda Maki here, Alalala Makanda Maki here, Eme Sanda of Akahaya, Alalala Makanda of Akaya, we bless you, glory to God, we bless you, Alalala Makashanda of Akaha, Alalala Mahanda of Mahir, Eme Sende de be day, no more de be deha, oh my, no more de be deha. Oh, Remesi, oh, Ramoso, Manda Rebeki Shanda Rabakahaya, Alalala Mahaha, Alalala Makashanda Rabakahaya, Alalala Maki here, Lord God. Alalala Maki Shaya. Yes, Lord. Alalala Makanda Rabakahaya. Oh, Ramama Mande Rebedea. Oh, Ramaba Baba Bande Rebede Boko Shanda Rabakaya. Ha ha ha. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You're a good God. Hallelujah. You're such a good God. Thank you, Lord. And you've been so good to us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you. Hallelujah. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 We bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God. We're so thankful, Lord. So thankful. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Y'all gonna have to bear with me. I have to get used to this. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we have a lot on our agenda tonight. I thought it was just one or two things, but it's like three, four, five things. Well, you know, I always tell you, exams always sneak up on me. I think I know when exams are. I read the handbook, and I look at it, and I'm always thinking, well, might not be right, you know. We know our apostle as the Holy Spirit leads him, amen? But I was advised tonight that this is our last class for this semester. Amen. Your final exams will open next Monday, and they will remain open for 3 weeks. I am saying to you students here in Darrow and the students online, do not wait until the last minute. Amen. If I were you, I would do my exams next week and not let it interfere with Christmas and not let it interfere with Thanksgiving, because what's going to happen? You know, you're going to get it. You know, busy with the holidays, and you're going to say, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I got time, I got time. And it will close. Let's see, I forgot which Monday night it will close, but it'll close. And you will have thought, I had time. Amen? So just a word to the wise. Check your inboxes. I'm pretty sure you'll be getting study guides and instructions. For the other classes. In this class, your final exam will be somewhat comprehensive, somewhat. Now, when I say comprehensive, okay, we will focus primarily on prayer and the word. Remember that one? I think that was the last one, and whatever we do tonight. But I could give one or two questions from exam one and exam two. So what I'm going to recommend is that you go back to the exams and look at the exams, 1 and 2. Now, for the, you know, what we've studied since exam 2, you know, that's going to be the bulk of the final exam. But, you know, I want to make sure, because we have first-year students in here, that everybody knows, what's the definition of prayer? You know, what did we talk about in this class? What is prayer? What did Jesus say about prayer? Know some of those scriptures. But if you look back at exam 1 and 2, that'll give you a good foundation for anything that might be comprehensive. But then the majority of your exam will come from what we have done since exam 2. Okay, and I think it's like starting at quiz 9. From quiz 9 through tomorrow will be the primary focus of your final exam. Did I make that clear? I know it sounds confusing to me, but anyway, y'all got it. Starting with quiz 9 on, you know, that's going to be the bulk of the exam. But I will have 1 or 2 questions from exam 1 and from exam 2. Amen. Amen. I can't believe this semester is ending. This has just, and that's what I always tell you, it goes so fast. And if you think this semester went fast, wait until the spring. Because you will come back on the 8th. LTMA Ministers Conference will begin on the 9th. Okay? So we'll have class the Monday night, and the expectation is that students attend the Ministers Conference. Am I right? So just keep all of that. So that's why you really want to go ahead on and get the exams out of the way. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, you know, I tell you, when I leave here, the class does not stop just because I leave here. Okay. Remember when I talked about your lives are hidden with Christ in God? Amen. I want y'all to look at some scriptures, and I think I'm just going to let the Holy Ghost speak to you about it, because it just touched me. The first one I want you to look at Romans 8, 19. Very familiar. These are all very familiar scriptures. But I want you to think about it in context of Colossians 3 and 3. That's the one that says, I am hid, my life is hid with Christ in God of. Well, let me look at that, make sure we got it right. Romans 8:19. Everything is amplified up here. It's like, ah! Okay. Remember over in Colossians, that's what we started with. You don't have to turn. 3 and 3, and it says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen? All right, Romans 8:19. And y'all going to work tonight. Okay. Let's read. Ready? Let's go. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're talking about all of creation is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to manifest. They're waiting on us. Amen. Can y'all see that? Okay, so we're going to start there. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. My life is hidden. It's even hidden from me, huh? Why? Because if God told us everything, we'd probably mess it up. We would probably mess it up. He got to give it to us a teaspoon at a time, right? Okay, 1 John chapter 3, verse, we're going to read 1 and 2. Ready? Let's read. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. There it is again. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Look at those words. It does not yet appear, right? You can't see it. It's hidden. Okay, there we go again. Our lives are hidden. And always remember, it's hidden for a purpose. And in his book, The Courts of Heaven, Mr. Henderson says that, God's purpose and his plan for our lives, it's sealed. And we have to discover it. Amen? We have to discover it. And then the other one I want you to look at is 1 John. You're right there. Look over at 4 and 17. Ready? Let's read. Herein is our love made perfect. I'm sorry. Everybody got it? I didn't hear enough voices. All right. 4 and 17. Ready? Let's read. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. So just like Jesus. Amen. We just like Jesus. I want y'all to just to read those verses in your spare time, because they begin to speak to me. And it's like, oh my God, first of all, all the creation is waiting for me to manifest, waiting for you to manifest too. And God is beginning to reveal, himself to us. And then he's also revealing us to us. Amen. He's revealing us to us, because it does not yet. Well, we don't know what he has in store for us. All we know is that it has to be discovered. Now, Mr. Henderson in the Courts of Heaven says that you discover it through prayer, through meditation, and the study of the word. You got to spend time with God. Amen. You got to spend time. We don't know, online students, we don't know who is among us in here. We really and truly do not know. And I gave the example of our apostle. When he was born, his parents did not know all that God was going to do with him. He didn't even know. Amen. So you don't know. And I don't know. We don't know it all. But God is going to begin to reveal to us, and especially now that you're learning about prayer, about meditation, about spending time with God. I think one of the things, when you listen to Apostle and listen to his testimonies, he prepared himself. So the word that I have for you is preparation. You got to prepare yourself. You got to be ready. You don't know when you're going to discover it, but you want to be ready. Amen. Amen. And praying, reading the word, meditating the word. This is how you prepare yourself. And how do I know that? Because that's what our apostle tells us all the time. That's what he did. He said when he got saved, he put his head in the Bible and he never took it out. Amen. He was seeking God. He was meditating on the word. He was asking God, to help him to understand. And so that's what you want to do. And that's what I want to do too. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I just want, the Lord, he just laid it on my heart. He said, do you see this? And it's like, oh my God. Yeah, I see it. I see it. Amen. And I want you to see it too. And the Holy Ghost is going to begin to reveal it to you. Amen. Now, what I prepared was chapter 14, prayer in the house of God. I almost didn't do this chapter because I said, everybody knows that we are the church. Amen? Because that's what we say. We say we are the church. And I said, well, why is he talking about a building? Why is Mr. Bounds talking about a building? But then the more I began to study, and then because he does a switch on us, He starts talking about the house of God, and then he goes on to the word of God. Amen? Amen. So I want you to turn, because this is not in the chapter. Turn to Hebrews, since you already have your iPhones and your tablets and your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 10. And this is just the foundational scripture that I'm using for this. This is not what he used, okay? But I want us to go, I want us to really, really go through this chapter. So I'll be doing some reading, you know, especially since some of this is going to be on your exam. Amen. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching." And that's talking about going to church. Amen. Just simple as that. Just going to church. And we see it's in the word of God. God expects us to go to church. Amen. So let's see what Mr. Bounds has to say about the church. And he calls it the house of God. Prayer and the house of God. Book 2, chapter 14. I'm sorry. We have six or seven books in here. Book 2, chapter 14, Prayer and the House of God. Our author, he says, prayer affects places, times, occasions, and circumstances. Prayer has to do with God and with everything that is related to God. Amen? Everything related to God. And I told you, you know, one thing about Word of Life Christian Center, and, you know, I'm not bragging, it's just a fact. This is a praying church. It's always been a praying church. Our apostle has always been a prayer. He's been a prayer. And he spends hours even now in prayer. Amen? Seeking God. Seeking heaven. What is heaven saying? You know, what does God want to do? Amen? We're going to, I mean, Mr. Bounds says some real, real good things that I'm hoping any pastors in here, any pastors online, you're going to be listening to what he has to say. Amen. But, you know, prayer has to do with everything that concerns God. He says prayer has an intimate and special relationship to God's house. A church should be a sacred place, should be set apart from all unhallowed and secular uses. I had to laugh. Amen. Some of you, well, we have a lot of young people in here. Y'all might not be laughing as loud as some of the older ones, but you know, we did some of everything. We did chancelets. We raffled. There are some churches that still do bingo, you know. But what Mr. Bounds, this is our author, he's saying the church should be a sacred place set apart from all unhallowed and secular uses. It should be for the worship of God. As worship is prayer, the house of God is a place set apart for worship. Amen? It's set apart for that purpose. The church, we're talking right now, he's talking about the house of God, the building. He says, it is no commonplace. It is where God dwells. And I put in parentheses, in us, because when we come to the building, amen, you know, we're the church, but we come to the building. Amen? It is where he meets his people. God meets his people in the church. It is where he delights in the worship of his saints. When prayer becomes a stranger in the house of God, it ceases to be God's house at all. Now that is heavy. Amen? When prayer becomes a stranger, I mean, you know, it's sad to say, but not every church pray. We pray. And I've shared this more than once, before every service here at Word of Life Christian Center. 30 minutes before every service. We have corporate prayer on Saturday mornings here at Word of Life Christian Center. Apostle has intercessors, not only here, but across the country. And we're praying. We're praying daily. Amen. I believe the success of any ministry has a lot to do with the prayer life of the entire ministry. Amen? not just the pastor, but the entire ministry of that particular church. Jesus put particular emphasis on what the church is to be when he cast out the buyers and sellers in the temple. He said in Matthew 21:13, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Amen. And he was quoting over from Isaiah 56, verse 7. Jesus made prayer preeminent above all else in the house of God when he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Prayer is perfectly at home in the house of God. Our author explains, he says, the inner chamber, or talking about your own personal prayer, the inner chamber is a sacred place. Amen. Yeah, it's a sacred place, but it's for personal worship. You know, when people talk about your prayer closet, amen, amen. Yeah, you could pray for the nation, you could pray for the church, but it's personal. He goes on and he says, the house of God is a holy place, and it's for united worship. It is for mutual united prayer. It's where you come together and everybody's on one accord. You're praying the same thing. You're not praying your own personal agenda. Amen? Not your own personal agenda. Now, there is an element of the personal or the private that comes into it because, number one, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. Even in corporate prayer, you're doing that. You're building yourself up. And God can speak to you at any moment about anything that's going on in your life personally. And a lot of times he does. Your focus is on the united or the corporate prayer, but then he begins to speak to you about something personal. Amen. Amen. It can happen. It has happened. Amen. It has happened. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So the author is just making the distinction between corporate or united prayer and the personal prayer chamber. He explains that the life, the power and glory of the church is prayer. Isn't that something? Is prayer. Mr. Bounds says the life, the power and the glory of the church is prayer. Amen. Now, I'm pretty sure, you know, he's going to talk about the word. Don't say, oh, no, it's the word. It's the word. Amen. He's going to talk about that. Amen. The life of his members is dependent on prayer. The presence of God is secured and retained by prayer. So can you see now that if a church or a local body is not praying, amen, what's happening? This is what's happening to so many churches. They are not praying. Our author says the very place is made sacred by the ministry of prayer. Without prayer, the church is lifeless and powerless. Without prayer, the building itself is nothing more than any other structure. But prayer can convert even the bricks, the mortar, and the lumber into a sanctuary. Amen? Because of prayer. This can happen. I mean, you know that. Anybody who walks into this sanctuary, amen, it's something different. You know it's something different when you walked in. It's been saturated with prayer. Amen? Amen. Let's see, a sanctuary, a holy of holies, where the Shekinah, we're talking about the Shekinah glory, can dwell. Amen? That's talking about a church where prayer goes forth sincerely. Sincerely. Amen? And consistently. With prayer, the house of God becomes a divine sanctuary. Without prayer, the building may be costly, may be perfect in its structure and attractive to the eye. But Mr. Bowen says, but it comes down to the human with nothing divine in it. It is on a level with other buildings. Amen. Amen. I mean, I'm telling y'all about Mr. Bounds. I told you, you know, man, he can really be harsh. He can really be harsh. He's not cutting any corners about a church that does not pray. Without, this one was heavy for me. Without prayer, A church is like a body without a spirit, or without spirit. Amen? Without prayer, a church is like a body without spirit. What happens to the body when the spirit leaves? It's dead. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, y'all. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. When the spirit leaves the body ceases to function. It dies. He says, it is dead. Talking about a church without prayer. It is inanimate. It's an inanimate thing. A church with prayer in it has God in it. When prayer is set aside, God is outlawed in that particular church. When prayer becomes an unfamiliar exercise, then God himself is a stranger there. You know, we used to joke about that, you know. But I never thought of that, you know, until, I mean, like I said, he's really, really harsh here about prayer in the house of God. I'm going to use that word, in the house of God. As God's house is a house of prayer, the divine intention is that people, listen at this, people should leave their homes, not watch on the internet. We're not talking about the students. These are online students. That's something different. Amen. Not talking about people who live in other states and who are participating in the online church. No, we're not talking about those people. Talking about the people down the street. Amen. Amen. People should leave their homes and go to meet him in his own house. Amen. You know, you're going to God's house to meet him. This is Mr. Bound. I'm telling you, the man, he don't play. He just does not play. God has made special promise to meet his people there. You know, because a lot of people say, well, I could pray at home. Yes, you can. I could read the word at home. Yes, yes, you can. But there is something about coming together, as we read, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. God has ordained this. He wants us to come together. He has promised. That's what Mr. Bounds is saying. He has promised to meet us here when we come together. And we see it here. Amen? Amen. We see it here. Let's see. Promise to meet his people there. It is their duty to go there for that specific end. And what is that end? To meet God in his house. In his house. Amen? Prayer should be the chief attraction of all spiritually minded churchgoers. Singing is good. Singing is good. Nothing wrong with singing. Amen? But, you know, we still got to pray. He says prayer should be the chief attraction of all spiritually minded churchgoers. The preaching of the word, I told y'all he was going to get it straight, has an important place in the house of God. Yet prayer is the predominant and distinguishing feature of the house of God. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, now this is a scripture that we sometimes pray, especially when we're lifting up an apostle or whoever is ministering. But I wanted you to see that. Mr. Bounds does not mention this particular scripture, but that's what I saw when I read that. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5. For our gospel came not unto us in word only. You see that? But also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As we know what manner, and we always say, of man our apostle is among us. And it's for our sake. For those of you who are in other churches, what manner of man or what manner of woman your pastor is. And believe it or not, it's all for your sake. Amen? Amen. You know, but the word is not in word only. Because, you know, that's what he's saying here. He's saying the preaching of the word has an important place in the house of God. Yet prayer is the predominant and distinguishing feature. Because through prayer, the man or the woman of God can minister the word in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. That is not going to happen without prayer. Amen? We're going to see a little bit later. I'm telling you, Mr. Byron gets really, really serious. The church or the house of God is essentially spiritual and divine. In the church, God is acknowledged and nothing is done without him. Prayer is the one distinguishing mark of the house of God. Prayer distinguishes God's house from all other houses. As God's house is a house of prayer, prayer should enter into and underlie everything that is done there. Prayer belongs to every sort of work relating to the church. God's house is a place where the business of making, now first, second year students know about prayerless people. First year students do not know about that, prayerless people. We had that last year. He talked about the, you know, we had never heard anything like prayerless people. But you know, you come to church, and what coming here and what participating in prayer in the church does, you become a prayer. Amen. You know, I don't know about this class, but you know, when I came to Word of Life Christian Center years ago, I did not know how to pray. I really and truly didn't. But I set my sight on some people. There were some women in this church that I marked them. I said, okay, I'm going to do what they do. Amen. And I soon found out that they were praying women, that they came to prayer meeting every time there was prayer meeting. They participated in all aspects of prayer that was going on in the church. And so I said, I have to do like these women are doing. You know, I'm going to participate. I'm going to come to prayer. I'm going to participate in all aspects of the prayer life of this ministry that I can. And, you know, I tell people all the time, people are watching you. You know, they're watching you. And believe it or not, they're learning from you. You know, because they want to do what they see you do, especially if you're doing something good. Amen. Amen. You know, because the average Christian, they want to know how to pray. And, you know, and I don't know why people have this conception that when a person gets born again, they're going to automatically know how to pray. No, 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 no. You have to learn how to pray. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And then you have to watch your man or your woman of God, and they're going to model prayer for you. Amen. And that's how we learn. And Mr. Bounds is going to say that a little bit later on. The house of God is a divine workshop. There he goes. He calls it a workshop. And there the work of prayer goes on. And I'll put in parentheses, we learn to pray. Amen. Any church, Mr. Bounds, any church that calls itself the house of God but fails to magnify and teach the great lesson of prayer should change its teaching to conform to the divine prayer pattern, or it should change the name of its building to something other than the church or the house of God. Amen? If they're not going to be teaching, you know, lessons on prayer and magnifying prayer in the church, they're just another building. That's what he's saying. I might come back to these other two here if we have time. Over in 2 Kings 8, you don't need to turn there. But this is a king who found out that the word of God had been missing, you know, in other words. And they found the word and they brought it to him. And, oh, my God, he just couldn't believe it, that they had neglected the word of God. So this is King Josiah. He said he lamented the neglect of God's word and saw as a natural result the iniquity that abounded throughout the land because they neglected the word of God. Amen. He was a righteous king. God's word was of great importance to him. Amen. He gathered together the notables of his kingdom so that they together with himself could be instructed out of God's book concerning God's law. Amen. And then you can read that over in 2 Kings chapter 8. No, I'm sorry, 2 Kings 22, verses 8 through 13. And then he also gives us Ezra. He says, when Ezra was seeking the reconstruction of his nation, and we might have time to come back to him, the reconstruction of his nation, the people assembled themselves together as one man before the water gate. Amen. And that's in Nehemiah 8, verses 1 through 3. And it says here, Mr. Bounds says, this was Bible reading day in Judah, a real revival of scripture study. It was a time, and he used the word real preaching. So you got preaching that's not real. Amen. He says this was the time that real preaching was done. And that's, let's see, Nehemiah 8, verse 1 through 3. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Amen. And he, you know, he called that, he says it was real preaching. He says a scriptural definition of preaching is to read the word of God. He uses the word distinctly so that the people could hear and understand the words presented boldly and clearly. The sense of the words was made clear in the meeting held before the water gate. Now, you see that word sense? Okay. Meaning it wasn't just a reading of the word, but they read the word and they expounded on the word so that the people could understand what it was that they were reading. What is this law all about? And I put little notes. I said, revelation and open up. Mr. Bound used this word, expository preaching, coming from the word expose. Oh, I think of the word revelation. Amen. Our author states that there is a lack of expository preaching in the pulpit today. I put a big parenthesis, negative. That's not true. That's not true today. That might have been true in his day when he wrote this. Amen. But we know that our apostle is expounding. You know, he's teaching us the word revelation. He's teaching it in power. LTMA, ministers, you know, pastors, bishops, they are opening up the word of God to the people of God. Amen. He says topical, controversial, and historical preaching have, one supposes, Mr. Bounds is something, isn't he? He said, one supposes their rightful place. However, and again, he uses the word expository, but I'm talking about preaching with revelation, amen? The prayerful expounding of the word of God is preaching that is preaching. That's what he calls it, preaching that is preaching. And if you wanted to look at that, you could look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, y'all remember that? Came not with excellency of speech. Remember? Lord. Okay, man. Let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. I wasn't eloquent, right? Or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. That's what Mr. Bounds is talking about. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen? Amen. For its successful accomplishment, however, a preacher must be a man or woman of prayer. Remember I told you that he was going to say that? Amen? Must be a man or woman of prayer. And he goes on and he says, for every hour spent in study, talking about studying of the Word of God, you will have to spend 2 hours in prayer. Wow. Amen. Amen. You know, a lot of times, and I know, you know, we have fivefold ministry gifts in here. We spend a lot of time composing our outlines when we get ready. You know, when somebody say, oh, okay, you're going to have to minister. You spend a lot of time. Oh, man, you get your scriptures. But what Mr. Bounds is saying is for you to be successful. And see, that's apostles' pattern. Apostles spend so much time in prayer. Amen. That while he's praying, the Lord just began to give him. Have you ever seen him come out with these little pieces of paper? You know, he's been praying and God has been giving him a message. So if God, you know, if he's modeling that for us, then he's telling us how important it is for us to pray. Spend more time in praying than in doing your outline. Do the outline, you know. There's nothing wrong with doing the outline. Do the outline, but spend more time in praying. Because then when you spend the time in praying, then God is going to tell you what he wants you to tell his people. And he's going to give it to you step by step by step. Amen. And then, you know, you won't have to be worried about what I'm going to say. And then getting up there, and it's like, oh, my God. Just giving them just apostle says you can tell when a man or a woman of God is anointed. You don't want to just get up and be dry. You know, that is my greatest fear when I stand before y'all. It's like, oh, Lord, you know, I pray for a fresh anointing. I want to be anointed. I want to be able to say something that's going to make a difference in your, this is a class on prayer, in your prayer life. And, you know, and like I share with y'all, I am believing that everybody's prayer life is changing as a result of this class. Amen. That you are hearing something. And it's not always so much from what I'm saying, is from what the Word of God is saying about prayer. Like tonight, you know, some of the things, I mean, I know I'm kind of rushing through it because I know it's, you know, this is the last class and this is the end of the semester. But, you know, some of the things that he's saying, I mean, who would have ever thought of, you know, spend more time in praying than you do on doing your outline. And then he says, for every hour devoted to wrestling with an obscure passage of Holy Scripture, you must spend 2 hours, you know, in other words, wrestling with God. Amen? You know, because there are scriptures, you know, and I've shared with y'all how there were scriptures that I mean, I'm just trying, Lord, what is this all about? You know, every day, and I read it, and I'm meditating, but I know I'm not getting what I believe God is trying to say to me. And I'm just like, well, what is it? Well, he's saying, you know, you don't just sit there with the scripture. He said, pray about it. Spend more time. Go to God. Ask God. Ask God questions about it. What you saying to me? What you mean by this? Sometimes you just leave a little bit of simple words, just a little bit of simple words, God will begin to enlighten. He'll begin to illuminate. And then you will say, I heard some ladies talking about that the other day. They were saying, you know, sometimes you're reading and it's like, you're just reading. Amen. But then there are other times when God begins to speak to you from what it is that you're reading. So I guess, you know, the message is spend more time praying than you do in constructing your outline. Do the outline. I didn't say don't do the outline. I say pray before you do the outline or while you're doing the outline. And then, you know, he ends with prayer and preaching, preaching and prayer. You got it? Prayer and preaching, preaching and prayer, they cannot be separated. Amen. If you're going to be an effective, I'm going to use the word minister, amen, you're going to have to pray. Amen. All right, I don't have time to go back and read that 2 Kings 22, but you can read it. 2 Kings 22, 8 through 13. Amen. Amen. All right. Exam week begins next week. Your final will cover primarily, again, quizzes 9 through the 1 tomorrow. And I will go back and get one or two questions from exam 1 and 2. But it'll be like little simple stuff. Remember, I'm not trying to trip you up, and there are no trick questions. Amen? I have just enjoyed this semester. It has really, really gone too fast. Everybody, y'all just have a great holiday season. Y'all be blessed and give God all the glory and the honor and the blessings be upon y'all. Amen? And I'll see y'all on January the 8th. Those people who are not members of Word Like Christian Center. Amen.